This is the Hidden Killers Podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Stories of shady behavior by the Murtaughs in Hampton County didn't just start with Alec. It goes way, way back. In all this week, we're going to be taking a look at the Murtaughs and their near century of influence of the residents of Hampton County, South Carolina. To take us there, Michael DeWitt Jr., award-winning editor of the 144-year-old Hampton County Guardian, joins us. He's also authoring the book Fall of the House of Murtaugh, to be released later this summer.
Well, I've born and raised here. My family's been here for as long as we can trace it. And I've been the reporter and editor for the local newspaper here for almost 20 years.
Okay. Got
to know this community.
Mm-hmm. How would you describe the community, as a whole, when somebody asks, what's life like where you're from? How do you describe it?
Hampton County's a very small, quiet place. The growth that you see, in Jasper County and Beaufort County and over by the coast has avoided us. We're kind of been known as more or less a bedroom community. People live here, but they go elsewhere for work and opportunities. And it's a shrinking town. The younger generation, finishes school and goes elsewhere for better opportunities. But it's a good place, I think, overall. I mean, neighbors help each other. I've seen this community rally in times of need, whether it be a tornado or a hurricane or sickness. It's a place where a lot of people still leave their doors unlocked. It's just that kind of little small, quiet town for the most part.
Mm-hmm. And obviously what we've been hearing about, the area is just that. But at the same time, there's been some pretty wicked people that have had positions of power there over the years. Let's take a dive into that. Your book, Wicked Hampton County. What's the inspiration for writing this?
Well, I've published a couple of books previously. I actually did a history of Hampton County in 2015 for Arcadia Publishing. In the Images of America series. And as I was going through back then doing research on all the good and wonderful things about our county, this was, a traditional photo history. And as I was going through and finding all these good stories, I was, as editor of the paper, I have access to all the archives and the old court files. And I was finding a lot of really dark stuff, really amazing things from moonshine, bootleggers to lynch mobs to the Klan, you name it. Our county, just like every other county, had its good and its bad. But that wasn't the kind of book I was doing back then. So I put all of this dark history in a file for a rainy day. And I said I was going to come back later, and it was going to be loosely titled The Dark History of Hampton County. And when the Murtaugh crime saga happened, I was approached by another major publishing house about doing a history of the Murtaugh legal dynasty. And I said, well, I've already got this book that's started. Let me go ahead and finish this. And, kind of with the same research effort and the same writing effort, let me go ahead and knock out both of these books. So, because the Murtaugh history is Hampton County's history. Everywhere you go, there's a criminal in Hampton County. It was a Murtaugh who put him away. So in the space of 14 months, I wrote Wicked Hampton County, which is out now. And I wrote Fall of the House of Murtaugh, which will be out late summer, early fall.
Let's talk about how far that dynasty goes back when you're researching and tracing this back. Where does it all begin with the Murtaughs being in a place of power in Hampton County?
Well, I've the Murdochs have always had a legendary mystique about them, and we touched on that in our very first episode of I'm now the co-host of a new historical true crime podcast called The Wicked South, the Wicked South podcast. And we touched on that in our very first episode last week. They've always had a legendary mystique, and a lot of it is of their own making, but it goes back to the Civil War. I mean, whether their claims are true or not, it's up for debate, but they claim to be, descended from Civil War heroes, and their ancestors were one ancestor in particular, J.P. Morgan the second, I believe it was, J.P. Murdoch the second, claimed to be right there when Robert E. Lee surrendered to General Grant, and he had, was wounded in battle, and that may be true enough. They also claim kinship to Jefferson Davis, the president of the Confederacy, and that part I think is up for debate. Genealogists have found different things when they dig into that claim. But that Murdoch mystique, that Murdoch legend begins with the fall of the Civil War, and it just kind of gets built upon over 100 years.
During that time, were they in law at that moment? Has this always been a family of attorneys, or how, what sort of positions did this begin in?
J.P. Murdoch II had two sons, and one of them was Randolph Murdoch Sr. He wanted to, and we're going to touch on that in the episode of the podcast that we're actually recording this week. He wanted to be a naval officer, the son of a Civil War hero. He had military dreams. He wanted to, he actually attended Annapolis, the U.S. Naval Academy in Annapolis, Maryland, which, as you know, is the equivalent of the Army's West Point.
Yep.
And, he had his family's name and his family's money. I'm sure that helped him get a spot in the Naval Academy. But he was dismissed for health problems. He was disqualified from military service because of health problems. So he settled for a career in the law. He, I imagine he, had big dreams of, maybe commanding a battleship doing in great battles. Well, he settled for returning to Columbia, South Carolina. Well, the family lived here, but he went to school at USC, University of South Carolina. They have a law school, and he graduated there in 1910 and returned to Hampton and almost immediately opened up his own private practice. It was a one-man kind of personal injury general practice law firm. And by all accounts, he was a very ambitious young man. I mean, if you look at the, newspaper articles of the day don't contain a lot of quotes, so you can't really learn much about his personality through direct quotes. Mm-hmm. But he seemed very ambitious in everything. In, when you read the stories, he was involved in every civic organization you can imagine. He won every award. He took on major cases that probably would have frightened away other people. He prosecuted former governors, bankers, law enforcement officers, preachers, you name it. And he was just very ambitious. So 10 years of private practice, he ran for the elected office of 14th Circuit Solicitor. So 1910, he opens a law firm. 1920, he runs for solicitor, which is the chief prosecutor for this area. And it's a 5-county circuit, pretty good sized circuit. And he wins. And it truly starts the beginning of the Murdoch legal and political dynasty. For three generations, Randolph Sr., Randolph Jr., Randolph III, operated in that law firm and ran the 14th Circuit.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
There is much more to come with Michael DeWitt as we continue to discuss the long era and footprints of control that the Murdaughs had in Hampton County for nearly a century. Be sure to press subscribe so you don't miss any pieces of our conversation. New pieces coming out all this week, Monday through Friday, right here on the podcast. I'm Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.